Welcome, everyone, to 90 Day Fiancé Fridays on a Sunday. Tell All Edition.
Tell All Edition.
Woo!
That was exciting, right?
It was, yeah, for a part one of a Tell All, it was very exciting. I was pleasantly surprised with the episode, you know, because usually when they split it up into 3, 4, 5 parts, the first one is fluff. The second one is fluff, and then, you know, the last two are usually good. But there was a decent amount of craziness that happened in this episode. I was very happy. I was very happy with the delegation of drama. I'll put it that way. They delegated the drama pretty good.
Yeah, yes. I agree. Like, it was highly entertaining, surprisingly. Normally, I would expect the first episode to be boring, but I was not bored, and the 2 hours flew by. So I'll actually give the producers some credit, because we rarely do. Good job on this part one of the tell-all.
Yeah.
Well, let's hope it continues this way, guys. I mean, you never know. It could be, like, great the first episode, and the next couple episodes just drag on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, true. I mean, It was Niles tonight.
Team Niles.
It was a different Niles, right? Like the Niles that we got in Ghana versus the Niles that we got today. It was two different guys. I like this version of Niles.
Yeah, he seemed like hopped up. Like,
he was like, I live for hopped up Niles. I honestly, I do. I think he's great.
I'm just going to be real, though. I think Adnan would beat the hell out of Niles.
I don't think so. Have you fucking, like, met an autistic person?
Yes, they don't usually... they're not usually the fighting type, so I don't know if they can fight
but
or not.
But when they are, it's dangerous. And I think he would... I think Niles would absolutely win against that skinny little prick.
Really?
That would be a good poll for social media.
Yeah.
We should do a poll, because
we're not going to sell Team Adnan shirts for $35.
Well,
yeah,
I saw it. Yeah, she's selling Team Adnan shirts along with her $30,000 handwriting.
Well, you know what it is. You actually get a free shirt once you sign up for the classes, right? That's how it works.
Oh, well, that's good. So you only have to spend $30,000 to get
$35,000. Wow.
Can you imagine? What a saint.
Oh my God, she's so loving. She's so loving. I love it.
It's her. Yeah. And if you go down the list, it's Mother Teresa and then Tiger Lily.
No, I think Tiger Lily is like above Mother Teresa with this deal.
Giving away a $35 shirt when she doesn't even have to, that's great.
But yeah, I think this tonight's episode solidified Niles as like the new super fan favorite.
Yeah.
I mean, I always liked him. But tonight's Niles, I'm obsessed with. You know, he did you notice when he couldn't get out of the car in the beginning? And he was like, can you let me out of the car, please? Thank you. But I knew that he was going to be unhinged when he yelled at the driver to let me out of this car. I knew it was going to be unhinged. I could just.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Because he tried to unlock it and the door was locked and he was like, let me out of this car.
He was going to Hulk that shit.
Yeah, I was like, oh no, this is bad. This is going to get...
The Hulk is coming out tonight, baby.
Like, I already know the answer to this question, but I'll ask it to George since I'm sure he knows the answer, but as a conversation piece. But like, so the cast members, before they get to New York, I assume, you know, they send the producers photos of their outfit and then that has to be pre-approved.
Okay, so the outfits, what's the best way to put this? They will ask you to send them 5 options. And if they don't like any of the options that you send, then they will get your sizes and then they will send you options. So, for instance, it appeared Lauren picked out his own outfit. Now, that's just my opinion, right? So,
well, I fucking hope so. If not, they need to fire whoever stylist they have for him.
I saw his.
Come on. Like,
he picked it out. They're pretty picky, though. Like, for instance, if someone's already wearing red, they won't let you wear red. Or if someone's already wearing, like, blue, you can't wear blue. So it gets a little competitive. So the quicker you submit your options, the more likely you'll be able to wear what you want to wear. And if you don't have anything that, like, they won't approve what you have, they'll buy you an outfit.
And then how much do they like look at an outfit in advance and say, okay, this is like easily memeable? Because like, so Niles's outfit could be one of two things, which was obviously we already memed one of them, which is like the State Farm guy. And then the other thing that people were saying is like, he looks like he works at Target. But I feel like, do you think that's calculated as far as that could, like they look at an outfit and say that would be good for a meme?
I don't know if that's like a main takeaway. It's more so it doesn't have a logo and there's not too much of the same color. They're mostly looking at the aesthetic of the
look. Yeah.
Like for instance, if Sean Robinson is wearing a burgundy dress, then Vanja can't wear a burgundy dress. It has to be.
They don't want to take away from like the scene and the moment.
Yeah.
I
think that they probably saw Lauren's outfit and they were like, oh, people are gonna make.
Because he's wearing clothes.
Yeah. People are gonna make fun of that. But
they tried. He tried. They
didn't go against anything anyone else was wearing. They were like, it's fine. But I've heard where they've flat out said no to people's outfits and then they bought them an outfit. Like
I've had that
happen as well. They just didn't like any of the options that you sent for whatever reason. So
this is a teaser for I'm sure we're gonna get to this topic eventually, but how I know like Sean Robinson is like prudish when like the sex talk starts happening with Lauren. So do you think she was like grossed out?
Well, I think the average person would be grossed out, to be honest, but, you know.
Well, tonight, they showed a clip about drinking pee.
Mm-hmm. Some people are into that. That's okay, but...
Coco, it wasn't what I thought it was, because when Lauren explained it backstage or whatever, he was saying, well, no, it's when you're with a woman and she squirts, that's the pee that he drinks.
Yeah, but it's not actual pee, but... Go on. Yeah.
Well, what everyone online was saying. They were like, he doesn't even know
what the fuck he's talking about. Yeah, I know.
So I guess should we fully jump into this topic?
Well, I guess my only other question was
let's squirt it away.
Might as well. Does he actually drink pee or does he even know what he's talking about? That was my next
one. Well, I mean, I'm a known squirter.
She's a resident squirter.
Interesting information. I'll keep.
I just want to tell you that it's not pee. It's not pee. It's liquid, but it's not pee because pee is yellow, and when you squirt, it's not yellow. It's like clear. So
they don't come from the same place either, right? Like there's different valves, right? So
yes, different chambers.
Correct. Right. It really opened my eyes to see that Lauren is not as what's the word, keen on the female anatomy as
yeah.
But again,
I think on the show he was arguing with Vanja, right? Where so he says squirt is pee, and then Vanja says it's not.
It's not. Yeah. Places.
Well, I mean, but Vanja's right. Vanja's right. It's not the same. This is not like a new subject. Like this subject has been talked about for a long time because, you know,
right.
If you live in a state where you're allowed to watch porn, you know, this is something that people are aware of. You know, and there's guys that are super into it. There's guys. So people have been curious. So it's been proven, like they've had actual doctors and gynecologists explain, you know, the problem. So it's kind of interesting that Lauren is like, oh, yes, it is. And I'm like, how are you going to tell a woman what something is that comes out of a woman's body when you're a man? Like, how are you going to argue with her? And on top of that, he's normally with women that don't have the same anatomy that he's referring to. So how the hell would he even know? Another thing that was interesting was he said that when he got back from the Philippines that he was talking to Faith. A month went by, they didn't talk, and then they talked every day. He failed to mention that during that time he was married to somebody else.
Yes.
Do you think that'll come up in the tell-all, or that was more of a side story?
I think it's gonna be I think it's gonna come up towards the ending of it.
Yeah,
because why would they give away any of the good stuff right now? I think they're just teasing. It's a tease.
I mean, but there's no guarantee it's going to come up, because a lot of times a news story type things don't come up.
Well, when I asked Lauren, I think I told y'all about it, and he was like, I can't tell you, but I'll say I think he said not all marriages are for love. So it made me feel like that marriage talk is protected by an NDA because he was like, I can't tell you. Because I was like, well, bring it up on the show. It is not included in the NDA. For instance, like, if it happened outside of filming and you didn't talk about it during filming, it can't be included in the NDA. So he could have told me. So my first thought is it's probably going to be brought up because he acted as though that would protect
it. Okay. What? Okay. Now that we're going down this path, what if the producers are really on top of their game and then they bring the new wife or whatever it was?
Oh, that would be interesting. I mean,
that wouldn't shock me.
I would like to know. Okay. So for we met Esther tonight, who was Lauren's ex. Was anybody surprised at Esther, like her appearance, her demeanor? Was anybody surprised? Because I've been trying to figure out Lauren for the longest time because he tells us all these crazy stories and all these different people he's been with. So what did y'all think about Esther, right? What was your first reaction?
I mean, she looks like his like baby mama.
Yeah, well, that was, I wasn't shocked by it.
That was my first thought. I was like, so maybe with his women, he has a certain look that he looks for. Because I was like, she doesn't look anything like Faith, right? But I was like, but she does look like his baby mama. So I was like, maybe when he is going into the women, you know, he has a certain thing he's looking for versus when he's with a trans woman, he has a certain look he's looking for.
I think when you say like he's going for a certain look, I think it's like any look is his look. So if you look at him, like it isn't, he'll go for anything that walks.
So if a woman, if he approaches a woman and she doesn't immediately throw mace at him or acid, then it's a go.
That's his new type.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm sure if he can get a Victoria's Secret model, that's who he could get. But instead, he's getting that chick that was on the cell.
Well, yeah. Okay, so let's talk about the $8,000 to $10,000. So Lauren said tonight to Sean that he had sent Faith between $8,000 and $10,000, which I don't know his bank account, but his entire MO, like everything about him has been, I'm poor, I can't afford anything, I don't have a place to live, I eat out of the garbage can. And then he wants us to believe that he sent her $8,000 to $10,000. Faith says that it's not true, but he says that he started listing off amounts of money that he sent her. It was $2,000 one time, and then $800 one time, and then I think he said three something the next time. Do y'all think that he actually is sending thousands of dollars overseas to her?
It's weird because, like, with his child support, it was like like $175 or something like that. So it's like he barely can pay the child support. So how is he all of a sudden splurging on thousands?
And he's also broke his joke. I don't buy that.
It's just, I don't know. That part of the story caught me off guard because his whole storyline has been, oh, I'm poor, I can't afford anything, I sleep on couches, I eat out of trash cans, and then he literally said tonight,
I know, it's like fucking crazy. It's like I mean I think a lot of people now, like, even just listening to him speak, like, they're disgusted by him. So, I think a lot of women are just like, you know, he's gross.
The only thing I can think of is like Dennis, when we were talking to him like on our podcast.
Yeah,
he was saying like he got like a check for like his grandmother passed away, so he had a check inheritance from that. So he probably had that money. So maybe that was some of the money he gave to Faith. But other than that, I would be surprised if he's actually sending what he said on the show.
How would he? How would he possibly get any money to send to anyone anywhere? It's just okay.
But so, don't you think he'd be sending his child support first versus
Jabuti, the term shock jock tonight? I think either Brian or Joey said it when Lauren was talking, and I know you're very, very, very familiar with that term. Mm-hmm. What about calling Lauren a shock jock? Do you think that Lauren does say things to shock people, whether it's not?
Yeah, he's like, even like a thing with the clip where it's like, I like to drink pee, like that's weird. If you said like, it's hot when a chick squirts versus like, I like to drink pee, so he said the version of it that's more like, oh,
shocking.
Yeah, shocking.
Exactly. I'm beginning to, when I heard the term, the first thing I thought was, no, that doesn't really apply. And then as he continued to talk tonight, I was like, you know what, I kind of think he is a shock jock.
He is. 100% he is.
Right. I think he thinks of the worst possible thing that he could say, the most off-putting type of thing that he could say, and he blurts it out. And it's funny because Niall said it tonight. He was like, I don't know how much more I can take of you. He was like, you're just absolutely disgusting. And I was like, but I don't think that Lauren is fully disgusting. I think he just wants to be the most interesting person in the like, I mean,
yeah, he knows the assignment, and the assignment is to be as outlandish as possible, and then keep him on television.
He understood the assignment, and he's kind of like what Adnan did tonight. He knew what the assignment was. The assignment was to be the Spockles of this tell-all, and they both understood the assignment, and I kind of felt like it was a ongoing fight between Lauren and Adnan tonight. They both were going for the title. Like, neither one of them were really – it's kind of like watching the WWE. Neither one of them were really – no, MMA. Nobody wanted to tap out. Everybody was you're going to say this? I drink pee. You know, like, it was just going back and forth, like they weren't going to let it go.
It was like, who was going to be the most annoying asshole on TV tonight?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, again, they could edit down the show or whatever. So I feel Sean Robinson, when she kind of bailed on the sex talk conversation, I feel like that was a shitty hosting job. And I feel like even if the conversation was making her uncomfortable, it doesn't matter. She should have, like, stuck in there another, like, 5 or 10. Even if it's, like, grosser out, she should have stuck in there another 5 minutes and, like, get all the nasty details.
She did that a couple times tonight. She cut off a conversation. Like, it was an argument between, I think, Brian and Lauren, and she cut off the conversation. They were going back and forth, and she's like, okay, stop. And she did it a couple times tonight. And I do think when a conversation is going off the rails as the host, you have to take control. But sometimes going off the rails is what you want it to do. Because that's the whole point. Like, you're supposed to have questions that you ask as an interviewer that will lead the train to fall off the rail. That's where you get your best content. And sometimes I feel like when it does fall off the rail, instead of letting the craziness proceed, she stops it. And I think that's a bad host. That's a bad hosting move. If you got two people going at each other, let them go at each other. If editing decides later they don't want to use it, then they don't have to use it. But if two people want to go at each other, let two people go at each other. That's the whole point.
Yeah, and I feel like with the sex talk, she should have just, like, let it keep going and gas. Well, she should have asked more questions and shit.
Ask more questions. If they want to get weird and strange, let them get weird and strange. And editing will decide if it's too much or if it's fine. Let editing decide. I feel like she's making decisions that are editing decisions. She's let the conversation flow as it is. And I think but she's always been that way. She doesn't like to talk about sex. She doesn't like to get into that territory, and she's a prude, which is fine. You know, it is what it is. But I feel like 90 Day Fiancé is very sexual. They're always having the cast members share overshare when it comes to their sexual situation. So if she's not willing to adhere to what the show is, let's get somebody who is. You know, like, let's get a host that's willing to get down and dirty with the cast and talk about it.
Yeah, especially with somebody like Lauren. Like, you do need a. He calls himself a shock jock, but you need, like, a shock jock host to, like, pull out all the shocking shit out of him. And in his case, it could be literal shit.
Well, yeah, with Lauren, you never know what direction it's going to go. You ask him a normal question, you get something completely outrageous. As you literally don't know what this kind of... He's literal gold, though. Like, for an interviewer, you don't even have to do your job well.
I thought of a funny, like, premise for... it could be a skit, it could be a bit, it could be a podcast, it could be a show, but it's a funny premise for a show. So here it is. Instead of, like, you know that podcast show, like Hot Ones, where they're eating, like, hot wings?
Yeah.
And he's being interviewed. It's Hot Ones, except you're interviewing Lauren, and then he has to eat more and more chicken legs.
Oh.
God. I don't want that visual.
He has to be sitting on a white couch.
Yeah.
Yeah, white
guy. And he has to have, like, spicy chicken legs.
Oh, no.
Until he has a shit his pants. Anyway.
I would be definitely afraid to watch that.
I mean, he would put it on Instagram Live, though. He would totally.
I think that's a brilliant bit.
Okay, so tonight, Adnan said something, and I rewinded it, and I'm 100% positive he said it. And actually, the words came up on the screen. And yeah. So he was arguing with, I think, Brian and Niles, and he was like, okay, so when I'm hitting her or when I'm angry with her, am I being controlling? So mm-hmm. I heard it, but I was typing a tweet. So I paused it, I rewound it, and I rewatched it, and the words came up on the screen. He literally said, so when I'm hitting her or when I'm angry mm-hmm. with her, am I being controlling? But what
was crazy, shocked, though?
But no, I'm not shocked. But what's crazy to me was no one in the studio reacted to it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what was crazy. Sean didn't react. None of the people, because everyone was like attacking him, so that was perfect ammunition to go in on him. No one reacted. I'm not shocked at all. If you told me that he wasn't hitting Tiger Lily, I wouldn't believe you. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not like surprised at all.
Before we started the podcast, someone DM'd me with that quote asking me if that's what he said, and then I personally didn't catch that, so I said, can you go back and take a screenshot or something? So people heard it, but they're asking me if that's really what was said.
When I watched it back, I watched on TLC Go, the caption, I read the caption. You know how they'll put the mm-hmm. on the screen? Like if yeah. the person is like has a thick accent, it was captioned. So yeah. I read it. I was like, holy shit, that's what he said. Not one single reaction from the peanut gallery, though, mm-hmm. which was really weird to me. I was like, so y'all all heard him. I mean, maybe mm-hmm. they didn't. Everybody was talking over each other. Yeah. I don't know what the sound situation is in the mm-hmm. screen. You know, we can hear everybody.
I mean, I know he's very, like, nonchalant when he, like, when he says shit like, I'm gonna kill him or something. Like, he says that so nonchalantly.
Yeah, yeah, because I think that's how he is.
And then it's weird, though, is, I know when he's in Texas, he's always at, like, the gun range and shit. So I feel like he's such a
maniac. So fucking weird. It's so fucking weird.
Like, he's not beyond doing some shit like that, allegedly, in my opinion.
No, I agree with you. I tweeted out that he was the terrorist of the tell-all because he told everybody. No,
you're gonna get in fucking trouble.
I'm gonna get in trouble. I know, but he said he was like, all right, everybody say what you want, but just be careful, you know, what you say, because then you're gonna have to answer to me. And I was like,
I swear to God, he is the most punchable face of all 90-day people.
And I was like, so is this man literally telling the people at the tell-all, don't say anything that you'll regret because, you know, I'm threatening you. You know, he's like, you have to answer to me. I was like, are you literally terrorizing the guest because you don't like what they're saying? And I'm like, I don't like how he came in and was like, you people are all idiots. You people are stupid. I hate you people. And I was like, you came in there with a closed mind to everybody. You came in there ready to fight everybody there. And then you're saying how these people are all stupid. I was like, well, you're pretty stupid too, though. You know, like, I'm not saying that
there
aren't stupid, but you're not the brightest tool in the shed. You know, if we're talking about intelligence, I haven't seen any coming from you. You know, like, so why are we threatening people for, they're like, well, if you say anything, you got to answer to me. And I'm like, and what would that be, sir? Like, and what would that be? Gonna shoot.
They're like, it's funny.
Which one of your wives are you gonna send after me?
Right?
It's funny because his voice sounds like a, you know, like a cartoon character. That's like
because he is a fucking cartoon character. He's the most annoying cartoon character. I think he's just such. Oh God, seriously! Like I've never wanted to punch someone in the face so bad as every time he opens his mouth.
I'm just saying he has like a nasally high pitched voice. So it's like, how is that intimidating?
And he weighs like fucking like 85 pounds. Like
when he was trying to mock Vanya. She would say like, "Oh my God!" He's like, "Oh my God."
Oh, and then, we got to talk about, he always did, like, the bobblehead thing.
Oh, yeah, he did every time Vanya talks, he would mock her and do, like, the little bobblehead. Mm-hmm.
He's such a fucking cunt. I'm sorry. I know Americans don't like to hear that, but he's a cunt.
He really, really, really pissed me off because anytime anybody had an opinion, he wouldn't let them get two words out. But when he had an opinion about anybody else, you know, he had to tell everybody what he felt, which is fine. It's like, but if you want to give advice, you got to take advice, you know? And I felt like he was dishing it, but he couldn't take it. And then when people tried to confront him or tried to say stuff, he'd get mad. He's walking off stage. And I'm like, sir, you're not Kanye West. Nobody came here to see you. Don't nobody care that you walking off. Like you're not the main event. No one
cares. You're not one in a million people.
Right. Like what do you, he made it seem like, well, now I'm going to walk away. I'm like, we didn't ask you to come in the first place. Like we didn't buy a ticket with your face on it. We don't care if you stay out here or not.
Yeah.
Exactly. I can't stand him. I mean, not only do I think he's an abuser, which is obvious.
He admitted it tonight.
Yeah, I know. It's fucking obvious. But it was even obvious before. And he's like, no, baby, don't I kill you. Okay. You know, he's just total trash. He's just like, fuck. Like, why does he have to be the stereotypical Muslim? There, I said it. You know what I mean? Like, fuck.
That's what I tweeted out too. And then somebody actually replied to me and they were like, well, I'm a Muslim. And they were like, he's actually on the extremist side, because they were like,
yeah, I know, because I have friends who are Muslim and they're nothing like that.
Yeah, a lot of
like people, you don't have to. I have friends who are Muslim who married Muslim and they have not converted. They don't need to convert.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, that's just like, I think he's playing up to like what Americans think a Muslim is.
Well, okay, so his mom, there was a non-shown scene tonight where his mom was talking to Tiger Lily, and she said a lot of Adnan's rules and requirements were not aligned with the Muslim religion. They were just aligned with what he wants his woman to
do. Yeah, he's just using being Muslim as an excuse. I mean, that's just that
comes from an actual Muslim mother. She was, and actually, I kept tweeting out because people came for me. I was like, oh, he's such a typical Muslim. And they were like, I wish you wouldn't say that, because they were like, I'm a Muslim.
They're not typical. Yeah.
Yeah. And they were like, he's like more on the.
Yeah. He's like Muslim squared.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I was so typical. They want this and this. And they're like, no, that's not true. Because I had a lady actually, she said that she's a Muslim. She married a Muslim. And she was like, the way that he treats and speaks to her, she was like, I would never stay in a relationship like that. She's like, yeah, there are rules that apply to the religion. But she was like, 50 to 75% of the stuff that he spews at her is just his personal control and manipulation.
Yeah, I think he's just using being Muslim as an excuse.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that he has a strong hatred for women. And he doesn't like it when women speak out. He doesn't like it when women have their own opinions. They think for them.
Yeah.
They express themselves. It's just such a boner killer for him. Like, when he sees a woman who's independent, it's just like the limpest dick you can ever get.
He's like, no!
Right? He's just so turned off by the idea that woman can think and has the ability to reason on her own. It just pisses him off.
I feel so, you know who I feel bad for? I feel bad for Tiger Lily's kids, because if I was Tiger Lily's ex-husband, there's no way in hell I would ever let those kids around Adnan.
Speaking of ex-husband, Shibuti, did you see the post that the documents released that starting in 2021, Tiger Lily was receiving $11,000 per month in spousal and child support, and then $4,000 per month in use of the Amex card for expenses from her ex-husband? Did you see that information that came out?
If it's new, I feel like I've seen that in the past, but if there's new information, I haven't seen it.
Well, this is what it was. So if you already knew this, this isn't anything new. It was $11,000 per month spousal and child support, and then she could use up to $4,000 on the Amazon card, American Express card, for groceries and household supplies. So $15,000 per month was the temporary agreement in 2021.
Mm-hmm. So he's probably making $2 or $3 million a year based off on that.
Oh yeah, he's
I would say
off. So she was living a pretty lavish lifestyle, $15,000 a month, and you don't even have to lift a finger. That is pretty lavish, but I'm pretty sure now
it is.
Now that she's married, the spouse
spousal all goes away.
Yeah, now it's
just, it goes all away.
But I don't know how much was kid and how much was spousal, because they said it was $11,000 total for spousal and kids. So I don't know. I don't know how much she's getting now. So,
yeah, but by the way, I have a random question, hypothetical question. If they're okay, so imagine in your mind like a future tell-all. And like it's Adnan and then Sarper's there. Do you see those two like getting along, or do you see Sarper arguing with Adnan?
Well, okay, so I think the typical response is two alpha males can't get along. Mm-hmm. But I have seen situations where two manipulative alpha males get along because they'll find a common enemy, and they'll usually a woman, and they'll attack that person, and they'll put all their energy towards that. So I feel like it could go either way. I feel like if it was Sarper and Shekinah and then Tiger Lily and Adnan fighting to be the two most popular, you know, I feel like if anything, it would be the two of them or the four of them fighting over who should be the bill of the ball. because that's how they all want to be the most important. So I feel like if they were in the same tell-all, they wouldn't get along only because they want to be the most important person there. So they'd have to fight whoever the competition.
Yeah, I could see them. It's weird. I mean, but though they both are like Muslim or whatever, but it's like, I'm trying to, what's the deal with Sarper's like religion?
Like, wait, I don't think
Sarper's not Muslim. I think he's Greek Orthodox.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I was asking it. Cause it didn't sound right coming out of my mouth.
Yeah.
I think he's Greek Orthodox.
Okay.
Yeah. It's, but it's funny because they brought up tonight, Sonny, who's also a Muslim, and they were doing the compare and contrast between Sonny and Adnan, because they were like, well, how come Sonny, you know, is so much more understanding of his wife, or not his wife, his girlfriend, and how Vea is and how she can dress and how she can act and whatever. And I think that it's more so that Adnan is an extremist versus Sonny is kind of like, yeah, this is my religion, but it doesn't define me.
Right.
I think Sonny is torn between, I'm a Muslim, but I also want to be a normal person. And I think Adnan is, I think I said this before for another person, but I don't think Adnan has a identity outside of being a Muslim. I feel like being a Muslim is his identity. He doesn't know what he likes or dislikes outside of being a Muslim. So, and I think Sonny does like things outside of being a Muslim. I think that's the big difference. Mm-hmm. Sonny gets drunk. Sonny goes partying, clubbing. He drinks. He has a life outside. I think Adnan only likes things that his religion tells him are okay to like. I think he's one of those people. He doesn't have a personality outside of it.
I agree.
All right, who else should we talk about?
Oh, so Niles and Matilda. So Matilda and Niles haven't seen each other for 10 months. So we kind of knew that that was going to be the case because he lied and said it was going to be 2 or 3 months. We knew that wasn't true. So we found out it's been 10 months. And we also, he said something really interesting tonight. He said, I've paid all of my fees. So he paid back Mr. Ark for the wedding and everything. But when it came to the visa, he said that they were going to work out how to pay for that. And he's like, I'll pay for my part. What does that mean? Is that meaning that he's going to pay half of her visa application and she got to pay the other half? Because where the hell is she ever going to get that much money? I was confused by that.
Yeah, I was too.
Because I get that getting money is difficult in any country, but it's a lot easier for him to come up with $5,000 than it would be for her to come up with $5,000. It would take her literally 3 or 4 years to come up with $5,000 if she had to do it on her own.
Well, somebody in my Twitter said he should set up like a GoFundMe and have fans pay for it.
Also, that is kind of the new trend now.
Yeah.
Is that the new trend? If you really want it done, you get the fans to pay for it. And I think the visa that he needs to get is between $5,000 and $7,000, if I heard correctly, because it's a spousal visa. I think it's between $5,000 and $7,000, probably on the lower side. And he kept saying, I paid my part. And I don't understand what he means. They're married. How does he have a part and then she have a part? It's kind of just on him. And I don't know if he thinks that in marriage you can just pay for your dinner and your wife's going to pay for hers. I don't know who taught him what marriage.
It's not split 50-50.
No, like I don't know what he meant by that, cuz I was like, do you really think that she's going to be paying half of the rent and you're going to be That's not how marriage works. I was like, when you get married, you're in charge. Y'all are in it together. When you go to a restaurant and you get a bill, that's both of your bill. It's not yours versus hers. That's everybody's food. You got to pay for all of it. Like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe it's just
maybe he wants to do 50-50 where it's like, you know, I don't know.
That's never going to work. You know, the money that she makes now in Ghana.
Well, of course. Yeah. No, there's never. No way.
When she gets here, it could work. But she would have to agree to that. And I don't think she's marrying him. Well, she said tonight, she's like, if I wanted to marry someone with a whole bunch of money, I would have. But I don't think that she's marrying him so she could come over here and take care of him and pay half of the bills. I don't think she's doing that either.
No, I don't. I definitely don't think that.
Nah. And it's funny because Brian was like, what makes you think that you could get someone with a lot of money? Guys with a lot of money don't just go for anyone. And I was like, are you trying to say she ugly, bro?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
You caught that, right? I was like,
that's the fucking text sex tourist.
Right. I was like, so you over here calling this woman ugly right now? You saying that she couldn't get a man that has a bunch of money versus you who can't seem to get a girl you said was a prostitute?
Like, yeah. Come I on mean, oh, that pissed me the fuck off.
Wait.
Which part pissed you off?
Anytime Brian opens his fucking mouth.
Well, did you notice tonight he was like, she's Ingrid's gonna try to make me look like a bad guy, so I just
want. Because you are a bad guy.
Well, that's my tweet. I was like, she doesn't have.
God to damn.
I was like, she doesn't have to try too hard to make.
Yeah. Seriously.
Literally did all the work for her. Like, she doesn't even have to say anything. You just showing up and us looking. We know that.
Just you opening your fucking mouth makes you the bad guy.
Like, I know Brian's not likable, but compared to Adnan, he is.
Well, fuck my shit that's in the toilet is more favorable than Adnan. Okay, what are you talking about? I mean,
oh
Jesus!
Let's talk about the comment that Adnan made to Brian backstage. He we didn't see it on camera, but Sean had them reiterated, and Adnan was like, "Okay, so Brian was giving him advice, and he was like, you know, you're 22, you don't know everything, you know,
you're in a wheelchair."
And yeah, Adnan was like, "Why would I take advice from a guy in a wheelchair?"
Yeah,
that's
let me tell you something. I fucking hate all of you for making me defend Brian. First of all, when I saw that, I was like, you are such a fucking piece of shit. Like, it's an insult to shit, actually. I mean. I just don't have words for someone like Admin. I don't. I honestly don't. And I think, you know, if karma is a real thing, it will strike him down hard.
Really?
Yeah, I think he's...
Your strong reaction to him is almost like booking his ticket for him to come back, though.
I know! I'm trying to stay calm right now.
Well,
hey, come on!
I was very, very shocked that he said something like that. Because he was like, why would I listen to you? You got people pointing guns at you. No one's pointing a gun at me. And I was like, man, this dude is so disrespectful.
Right? Can you imagine him saying that to someone in an open carry state?
Well, yeah. The way it's funny because he's in Texas, you know.
That's what I'm saying.
It's funny that he speaks this way because I'm surprised that he still got all his limbs at that
point. He's a card carrying psychopath. I mean,
I don't know. I feel like the way that he speaks to people is really scary, and he
because he's gotten away with it for so long.
Yeah, you're right. That's why when Niles squared up with him tonight, I was like, Niles, if you need to be bailed out. I got your back because smack this dude. I was like, just smack this. Like, honestly,
yeah.
Somebody needs to smack this dude. It's funny because earlier in the season, everybody wanted somebody to smack Brian. Brian isn't even on our radar anymore. We don't even care.
No.
Now we just want somebody to smack Adnan. That's all we are.
Yeah, you're making me like Brian.
It's like when you have full and evil, you have to pick the lesser of two evils, right? So Brian is not even
exactly.
That.
Exactly.
Brian isn't even that.
Brian's like the RFK when Adnan is like the Trump.
Right? It's like you're looking at both. You're like, well, I can find something decent in this one at least. You know, like I can find something. Yeah. I can't find nothing.
Thank you, Wheels.
Do you think Brian was like humbled by all this social media backlash? He's like, oh, let me not be a total douche on the
If he was a true sociopathic narcissist, he wouldn't have been humbled. But you know, I think he's eased up a bit.
I think when he got destroyed online, he realized that going in and being a dick on purpose, basically being Adnan is not going to get you as far as you think it's going to get you.
No.
And I think Brian was Adnan in his season and versus Adnan being Adnan at the tell-all. Brian he had months and months and months of backlash to deal with. So I think that's why he's a little more tolerable and a little more cautious of the way he speaks to and of Ingrid now than when he was on the show. Because when he was on the show, people came for that man really, really hard. And I think
yes.
really, really, it showed him a little bit of humbleness. He was like, you know what? I liked it better when there weren't people saying they wish that the guys finished the job. You know, like, I liked it better when people didn't say horrible stuff about me online. So I think he went in there with that in mind. Like, you know, I can get my point across without being a complete dick.
True.
Yeah, I agree.
So, all right, did we talk enough about Vanja? I don't think we talked too much about Vanja.
Oh, yeah, we didn't even bring up Vanja yet. So she... She had Bozo, whatever we want to call this. Bozo was on the tell-all, which I thought was ballsy. Like, why would you even show up?
Right? I don't get it. For the money. For the money.
Exactly. For the money. So we got...
For the IMDb credit.
And real quick, like, I posted earlier today or yesterday where the Yoshiko tea won't come out till episode 3 of the tell-all.
Oh, I saw that. So, yeah. We're not even on Yoshiko yet because we were still with Boja tonight. So, we're going 2 more episodes before we find out about the alleged hidden camera recording that Yoshiko supposedly allegedly did with Vanja. So, we did find out that, what's his name? Bozo the Clown's ex messaged Vanja and asked her to clarify their relationship and timeline. So, apparently, this ex that we've been hearing so much about was about to be getting engaged to Bozo, which is crazy. Why? He doesn't even have a job. And they broke it off, and then she was under the impression that they were back together, and then he was talking to Vanja at the same time. So what is the deal? Because I always thought that he was using Vanja for money, but he actually had a girlfriend. Why would the girlfriend reach out to Vanja if she was in on the scam? Now I'm confused.
The thing I always get confused about too on this show is when like exes reach out to the new girlfriend or this, that, another, and it's like, how does she have Vanja's info anyway?
Well,
it's not hard to get, I'm sure.
I'm sure, like, Instagram, like, you know, when people start dating,
So then let me ask this question. Let's say it was an Instagram DM, but when they like dramatize it or like make it for the show, then they make it look like a WhatsApp message or something, just for easy to read. It
looked like a WhatsApp or Android phone message.
Okay, that's the part that throws me off. Then
assuming maybe they connected through social media and then maybe exchange phone numbers. I mean, okay. I don't know. It's confusing to me because I always believe that his girlfriend was in on the scam. So for her to reach out to be a part of it wouldn't make sense, because if she knew he was on the show with her, he was going to get paid for it. Why would she go and insert herself in the situation?
Well, maybe because she wants clout too.
Well, they never said her name and she's not there, because I feel
right.
Like if they wanted clout, they would have had her on the screen, right?
I feel like
they brought her in, but she's not there. So she doesn't want, I mean, I'm assuming she doesn't want to be on the show. She doesn't want to show her face. I don't know. This whole thing, it was confusing to me, because then I also found out there was a Screen Rant article that said that this girl was from Montana. That's even more confusing. I thought we were talking about a local chick. When he described her, he said that they dated for 6 years and they had their issues. And I was like, how do you date somebody for 6 years in another country? Like, so I'm very confused at, is this the same ex that we thought that he was with before? Is this a different American girl that he was talking to? Like, this whole thing threw me for a loop.
It was bizarre. It was bizarre.
And then him getting up and leaving when they started asking him if he had a girlfriend. Well, he said, no, I don't have a girlfriend. And then they started asking him more questions about a girlfriend, and he gets up and leaves and says he has a 10 p.m. meeting that he's late
for. What?
Which... a 10 p.m. meeting that he's late
for. It's unbelievable.
An unemployed man has a meeting, first of all. What's the meeting about?
Maybe it's another sugar mommy.
Well, yeah, I'm assuming that he had a date with another woman that he's just nice friends with. And he needs to make sure that that wire transfer went through on time.
Not exactly.
My assumption. I don't know, but I felt like him showing up was a complete waste. Like, why would you even be there? Y'all dated for like 5 seconds. Why would you even show up to the tell-all? Why are you there?
Yeah, we didn't really learn anything from him being there tonight.
We're more confused about him than we were when we started. I don't know. I thought at first, I was like, oh, maybe he's gay. Maybe he doesn't even like women. I don't think it's that. I don't think he's gay. I'm more confused now. My only theory that still works is she was sending him money and he was using her for money. That's my only left workable theory into this whole situation. I can't figure out any other reason why this even happened.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, Bozo's such a like afterthought. It's hard to like care.
Bozo's a bozo.
He's a clown. Literally, he's a clown.
It's like he's not even worthy of like figuring out what's going on with him.
Well, right. It was such a stupid plan because it clearly blew up in his face. I don't even want to know the inner workings of such a stupid plan because I don't even want to understand the mind of someone who poorly planned something like that.
Yeah, and I guess on the show he said he's meeting with a cinematographer at 10 p.m.
Oh, my fucking God. Yeah, okay.
Cinematographer. Okay, Coco, what is that? What's a cinematographer?
It's someone that's in charge of... Oh, my God, I'm so stupid.
It has a good movie.
It's someone who's in charge of photography.
Okay, yeah, for movies, right? Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's for movies or TV.
Why would an unemployed 39-year-old who lives...
Maybe he's getting into porn.
Oh, that could
be. Maybe he has an OnlyFans, and he's... Yes, that's what I'm going to go for.
Wait, OnlyFans girls have cinematographers? That's crazy.
The good ones do.
Wait, do you?
No, I do my own stunts.
Okay, that's... I feel like it's... Like, if you're your own OnlyFans person, for you to do your own work, then have to pay somebody to be your cinematographer. I feel like that would cut into your profits.
It does, yes. Because, you know, like, OF takes a percentage.
Well, I know, like, if you're, like, a super famous person who's now turned a OnlyFans actress, you might be able to afford to pay somebody.
Well, sure.
But if you're just a normal girl... who never was on like 90210 back in the day and you're doing OnlyFans, you don't have money to pay like a team of people. Mm-hmm. You know, this is your business. So I don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was looking through my tweets. The only other thing is interesting to me was, did you see like Tiger Lily's iPhone case?
Oh my God. Yeah. I'm sorry, but Harajuku 2002 called. They won.
I saw it. Yeah, everything about this chick is cringy. Did you? Okay.
Oh my God.
Did y'all see Captain's tweet? She said that she looked like a Timu Princess Leia.
No, I didn't see that yet.
Yeah, she says she looked like a Timu Princess Leia with her outfit tonight. Okay, let's rate Tiger Lily's look tonight from 1 to 10. 1 being she was a clown, to 10 being that she looked like she was an extra on Star Wars.
I'm gonna I guess 10. I guess 9.
Okay, yeah. I was gonna go with a 10. She definitely looked like she was one of the extras from Star Wars.
Hey, listen, I know some really, really wealthy women in Dubai that are Muslim and do dress conservatively. And they can they manage to look good. She looked like she got that from like Dubai Timu, okay? I don't understand her choices. I mean, like, you can dress conservatively and still look really, really good. I don't understand what the fuck. Like, I think she went to Canal Street or something. I don't know.
Well,
this
would have been her opportunity to prove to us that she's not as broke as we think she is.
She chose that. I'm just like, oh my God. Remember back in 2012 when like the headbands were like a total rage at like Urban Outfitters, they had the whole flower headpiece. I mean, I honestly think it's just like she decided to just like, I don't know, buy a bunch of shop off the TikTok shop and decides just, you know what, that's what I'm wearing.
Like on the show, she said the reason she was dressed frumpy is because that was when she recently had the baby. So
explain the clothing.
I was gonna say it wasn't so much that.
It wasn't that she was bloated. It was just her clothing choice. It looked cheap. It looked cheap. It really looked like something out of Fashion Nova.
Yeah. I think, and, you know, I think she's been selling this, I'm a rich person, and my lifestyle is pretty lavish. You know, we did learn about the $11,000 a month spousal and child support. I'm beginning to think that we're seeing her real income lifestyle. Now that she brought him over here and she's not getting all this free money from her ex, I think this outfit and how she looks now is who she really is. I think that she is no longer living that lifestyle that he was giving her before she got married. I think this outfit was in her budget. If that mm-hmm. this outfit we saw tonight, that was in her budget, and her budget is not very high.
Yes, I'm gonna agree with you.
True, and then do you want to save for Friday? I know there's a Jasmine sighting. Do you want to talk about that now or Friday?
We can
talk about that now.
Well, yeah, it's up to you. We could talk about it now.
Okay. Well, here's what we should say for Friday. We'll save the big Natalie stuff for Friday.
What's
yes?
Oh yeah, I know.
With her trying to raise money for herself and the fire victims at the same
fucking
time.
Fucking bitch! If I ever meet that fucking bitch in LA, like her face is going straight into my fucking fist.
I mean, who else would be like, oh, there's a bunch of wildfires in California. What can I do to help?
Speak to me. I let you speak to me. Like, fuck off, bitch.
Get out of here. Yeah, we'll definitely be breaking that down on Friday.
Yeah.
And I've heard a lot of different cast members. All of them are super disgusted at what she's doing. So, yeah, we'll get into that. But do have some new information on a Jasmine sighting that happened yesterday. Guys, it's very... current.
Do you want to read it or me or?
Do you have it in front of you?
Yeah.
You read it.
Okay, this was from like Reddit, and then so someone saw Jasmine in, how do you pronounce it? Dunedin, Florida.
Dunedin. Yeah, it's actually a suburb.
Never even heard of it.
It's a suburb of Clearwater. It's called Dunedin.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So this is the person talking. This person that saw her. The wife and I were walking on Main Street. Two people and a little white dog walked past us in the other direction. My wife says, oh my God, it's Jasmine. I said, no way. They stopped to pick up dog poo. I forced my wife to ask and say hi. She does, but they both kind of get freaked out. Then she says bye-bye and stepped in Jasmine's dog poo. I still didn't believe it until I Googled up a picture of her and the dog and the boyfriend, and it was them. And then somebody asked in the replies, like, was she pregnant? And then this person was, this is the wife. I guess the man wrote that initial post. Then the wife responded to the pregnancy question. And it says, this is the wife, and yes, she was in a yellow sweatsuit. She was about 6 months pregnant and with Matt. She looked very beautiful. She was glowing.
Oh,
yeah, she was pregnant, and Matt is here with her. So everybody has been speculating that he's the baby daddy, and we hadn't been able to put him here until now. So now that we know that he's here, because everyone knows he lived in Michigan with his girlfriend, with his girlfriend who is now hanging out with Gino in Michigan. So
that's the weirdest fucking couple swatch I've ever seen.
Yeah, this couple swap is crazy to me. It reminds me of Ron and Betty. They're swinging, but they literally just switched mates. And now
I'll take Ron.
Jasmine's walking around Florida with her baby daddy and her dog, 6 months pregnant.
And actually, she's wearing like, she's always, seems like her latest attire is always like baggy pullover sweatsuits and shit.
There's nothing wrong with sweatsuits.
I think she's been trying to hide her pregnancy because she didn't always wear like this sweatsuit, baggy hoodie stuff.
No, she always used to like love to show off her curves and her, you know, her stomach. I mean, with a body like hers, like we wouldn't.
Well, yeah, Jasmine looks amazing. I don't know. I'm kind of surprised that she would go and get pregnant because she's so obsessed with
being healthy and being thin.
And that
I wouldn't say thin, but you know.
Yeah, so I'm a little surprised that she's willing to
fit.
Sacrifice that fit body, that torso, that belly.
Well, I don't think it was like done, you know, on purpose.
Well, remember she said got here that she wanted to have a baby. On the show.
But with
Gino, and Gino was like, hail to the no, we're not having no baby. We have to figure out, you know, if we can actually work together. She did say that it would make her happy if she could get pregnant. Not this past season, the season before, when she first came.
Right.
When she first got to Michigan, that was one of her wants. She said she wanted to get pregnant, and Gino was like, yeah, that's not happening. And so I'm wondering, did she really want to get pregnant with Gino, or did she? Because everyone thought it was a storyline on the show, but now that she's actually pregnant, I'm like, maybe she did want to have another kid. You know,
that's but
she is 38, 39. You know, I think, you know, she wanted to just pop one out before she hit her 40s.
Well, she
I'm gonna be annoyed though after she has the baby, and then. Well, it may be down the road, but let's say her storyline gets stale after the baby, then she's going to have a season where it's going to be like the female Lauren getting her plastic surgery.
Oh, my God.
Oh, please, you know. Yeah, you're right. We had to watch a whole season of her getting her mommy makeover.
Yeah, the mommy makeover.
Yeah.
Like, next down the pipeline.
We might actually be stuck with that, too. Yeah, her trying to get her pre-baby body back. Which, oh, another question. Do you guys think, like, so for instance, now that she's not single, she can't go on the single life. Do you think that the show would consider filming her with this Matt guy? Do you think that that would be a possibility?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so I think definitely because, like, you know, it was a big tell as far as, like, Matt, as far as his presence going forward on the show is when she called him on Last Resort, like, it splashed his big photo, like, giant on the screen. And it was like, Matt is on the phone. And almost in a way to like introduce the audience subliminally to this guy. Because the producers know, we're going to be working with this guy in the future. So let's show him as a friend calling on the phone with a large image of his face.
It was like a soft launch.
Yeah, it was a soft launch. So,
right.
Yeah, he's going to be on the show, I'm pretty sure. Like, that's otherwise.
Because the way that.
That wouldn't shock me at all.
The way that they're trying to stay incognito, it makes me wonder if maybe they're already filmed something together. That's the they're hiding basically, and it's weird to hide if you're not doing anything wrong. You know, you're not under an NDA. It's weird to just be hiding the way that they're hiding. So I'm wondering if it already is filmed, because you know a lot of people don't realize it's been like a whole year since Gino and Jasmine broke up.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot that could have went on in that year. Like maybe they were filming her with this dude already.
Yeah, that's where that would be my bet.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards that. But you're right. When they launched him softly on the show, showed his picture, that you're right. That was getting us introduced and accustomed to seeing him. You're right. Because how many times have we been on watching the show and somebody calls their friend and there's no picture? It just says on the phone with their friend. And there's just a first name.
Yeah, exactly. Because I took that screenshot and posted it on my profiles.
Yeah, they went a little out of their way because it wasn't necessary to put a picture of them when people call their friends, it just says their friend's name. They don't tell you who this person is, what they look like or anything. So yeah, you're probably right. And I'm assuming in that year, because remember I told y'all it was like a year ago and I was in Disney World and Jasmine was in Disney World, but I think I was in Animal Kingdom and she was in Magic Kingdom. We missed each other. Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming she was there with Matt. Because one of my friends who was in another park was like, oh, yeah, I saw her. She was with some white guy or whatever. But I didn't physically see the guy, so I couldn't tell you who it was. But she was definitely here a year ago in Disney with a guy. So I'm assuming maybe they were filming together then.
Yeah. And then I will say, I don't know how good your memory is on The Last Resort when she talked to him on the phone. At that point, he's just the emotional friend before he became the baby daddy. Well, I was going to say he sounded articulate. Like, what do you recall him as?
Yeah, he sounded articulate. When I found out that what's his nationality? I can't remember.
Like Romanian.
Romanian. I was surprised because I didn't hear the accent when he was on the phone.
Yeah.
He was very articulate. So when I heard that he was Romanian, I was a little surprised because I didn't hear any English as my second language in his voice.
Right.
So, yeah, when I read that, I was like, oh, wow. And when I saw his photos, I didn't see it that much. Like, you know, he didn't have any strong Romanian features. You know, I was just like, oh, I would have assumed that was just a white guy from the U.S. if you wouldn't have told me that. You know, like, so now that I saw that, I was like, oh, interesting. He must have been, you know, either came over as a baby or, you know, he's been here for a while. Because, you know, the longer you're
right,
the less you can tell those differences. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to, like, bone up on my Romanian stereotype knowledge.
My best friend growing up was Romanian.
Wait, so how long were they here? Like, did they come really young?
Yes.
So
yes,
by the time y'all were in high school, there was probably no articulation of any accent, right?
Well, she's no, but she spoke full Romanian. Both her parents were Romania, from Romania.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Oh, by the way, though it was okay. So I just got bored. Okay. So I just Science. Looked up. No, not bored, Fuck. But like, I mean, like I was.
Wow! I've never had any man say that to me ever.
I didn't mean it like that. I meant what I meant to say is the curiosity was got the best of me.
Uh-huh.
And then I looked up Romanian stereotypes. Now, do you want to hear positive or negative?
Wait.
Yes.
I want to hear. Wait. Let's start with the positive ones. Let's start there.
All right.
Let's start with the positive. These are positive Romanian stereotypes.
Oh my God. We're gonna get canceled.
If one of the topics is interesting, I could read the longer version, but I'll just stick with the headings. So the positive ones are warm and hospitable. Well, I guess I could read the longer version of it. They're warm and hospitable, which is Romanians are often seen as welcoming, friendly, and generous hosts. Hospitality is a key cultural value, aka mm-hmm. have a new chick come over, Jasmine. Hardworking, many people see Romanians as industrious and determined, often taking on challenging jobs abroad and excelling in their fields, aka being a mechanic and changing Jasmine's oil. Family oriented, Romanians are thought to place strong emphasis on family ties and traditions, aka having a family with Jasmine. Creative and artistic, Romania is associated with rich cultural heritage, including music, theater, literature, and is seen as producing talented artists and intellectuals, aka acting out a scene with Jasmine on reality television. Nature lovers, Romania is known for its stunning landscapes such as the Carpathian Mountains and the Danube Delta, and its people are often perceived as appreciating and preserving nature. So those are the positives.
Well, that's perfect.
Well, that's kind of interesting that Florida, you said the pursuing nature.
Yeah, they're in Florida, and Florida is one of the most protected. We have the most laws for protecting the land and nature here. So the people who live here are very appreciative to nature. So that's interesting.
Are you ready really for the negatives? More,
it's actually really ironic considering that, okay, you guys don't know who I'm talking about, so that's fine. Well, her mother had an affair with a gardener, so... That
oh.
Looks, so yes. Oh. Yeah, I remember in high school that happened. And we were all like, "What?"
Wait, so did the husband find out?
Yeah, apparently. Apparently they were like into like three ways and stuff.
Wait. Did they have a three way with the gardener?
That I don't know. I just remember like the mother, like she was always very over sexual, you know what I mean? Like she always like dressed like really provocatively. So they might have been open.
Yeah, I had friends with moms like that, and I found out when I got older that the mom was messing around with some of the son's high school friends.
That does not shock me.
Yeah, I found that. It wasn't me. I wasn't the lucky boy, but
oh.
I found out later that was going on.
Mm. All right, you want to read the negative stereotypes?
Yeah, let's hear some negative stereotypes.
Okay, these are negative Romanian stereotypes. Number one, superstitious. Romanians are sometimes stereotyped as highly superstitious, especially mm-hmm. in rural areas, believing in folklore, curses, and mystical practices.
They're gypsies.
Well, I'll get to that. Okay. Let's see. Number two, linked to Dracula and vampires. Thanks to Bram Stoker's Dracula, Romania is frequently associated with vampires in Transylvania, even though these associations are fictional. Let's see. Number three, gypsy confusion. There's often confusion between Romanians and the Romani gypsy people, mm-hmm. leading to stereotypes about crime or poverty. This is a significant source of frustration for many Romanians.
So wait, they're not actually gypsies?
No.
Yeah, it said it was a misinterpretation. Oh, okay. I didn't. Okay, so the Romani gypsies is confusing as people confuse it as Romanian. Ah, okay.
Yeah, but they're not the same, I guess. Number four, corruption. Romania is sometimes stereotyped as being plagued by government corruption and inefficiency. That sounds like who's Libby's Andre? That sounds like an Andre storyline.
Yeah, where was he from? Wait, he was not from Romania. He was from somewhere else. But yeah, he said that he got in trouble with the law for corruption. Remember? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, and then number five, rural backwardness, which is some people view Romania as underdeveloped or rural with outdated infrastructure and lifestyles, especially when compared to Western Europe.
Oh.
Let's see. Okay, this is the last bit of it. Cultural quirks or habits. Love for polenta and garlic. Sarmali, cabbage rolls. Some of these are foods that I've never heard of. So cabbage rolls, polenta are stereotypically viewed as staples of Romanian cuisine alongside garlic and even linked to folklore about warding off evil. Dancing and celebrations. Romanians are sometimes stereotyped as loving loud, lively celebrations complete with traditional music and dancing. Driving skills. Romanian drivers are often stereotyped as aggressive or chaotic on the road. Oh. And then the last thing that says, do you think these reflect reality or they are just exaggerated myths? That's all I got.
Interesting.
Yes. So he probably gets road rage as like a mechanic or something.
Well, I saw him on Instagram and he is like a car guy. Did you know
that? Well, he's a mechanic, so.
And he's got like a bunch of different race cars and cars.
Well, we've had this conversation. Remember what I said?
Oh, so they're not his cars, right? You think that those
because I have like a relative who's like a mechanic, and if his Instagram is a bunch of like, you'll see like a orange like Corvette or whatever. And then I'm like, who's that? And he's like, oh, that's my customer's car that I worked on. So basically, he just posts the customer's cars on the Instagram and you think he owns it.
Oh. So is he not, you think he has a car at all or no?
I mean, I'm sure he has a car, but I'm sure that like, if you see like a, you know, like a $100,000, $200,000 sports car or some shit, that's probably just the customers that he worked on.
That could be. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah.
So I don't know what their link is to Florida because they're clearly living here and he was clearly living in Michigan. So I don't know why they chose to settle down in Florida. I know Jasmine said when Gino took her to Miami that Florida was the closest to Panama that she had saw since she had arrived in the U.S. So I don't know if it's just because Jasmine prefers Florida or if he has family in Florida. Like, I don't know why they're here again. I hope we find out more about this situation as more information becomes available. But it's just interesting that they ended up here again together, and it seems like this is where they're settling in.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Well, I guess at this point, now that they're having a baby, I guess he doesn't have a choice than to be by her, right?
Well, right. He can't go back to Michigan, and I'm pretty sure she didn't want to go back to Michigan. I mean, they could have easily stayed in Michigan. I'm pretty sure he was living somewhere in Michigan. He had a job in Michigan. So I'm assuming maybe Jasmine was like, well, you know, if we're going to be together and raise a family, I want to live somewhere, you know, climate comparable to Panama. So the closest you get to that in the U.S. is probably here or California. So I feel like she always said on the show, though, she was like, she loved Florida. It was her place, right? She kept saying that. So I'm assuming that's why they're here.
Yes.
I'm assuming.
But they're not on a Miami budget.
No, they are in Clearwater, which is the, I think any Floridian would say the poor man's Miami, right? That's what they call
Clearwater. Yes, that's what they definitely do call that there. As someone who's grew up in Coral Gables.
Yes.
You know, that's what.
It's the people.
Do you know Coral Gables?
The people who don't own boats, they live in Clearwater. But if you own a boat, you live in Miami.
Yeah. By the way, I did some quick research on the fly. Do you want to know the areas of Florida that are known for having large Romanian populations?
Yes, I'm interested.
Is Clearwater on the list?
It's Pinebrook Pines, isn't it?
I'll just read them. See, I don't know like what's near what. So, but okay.
Okay, I'll tell you.
There's a place called Sop Choppy.
Oh, see, what? I don't know where that is. What?
Where the fuck is that?
Sop Choppy. Approximately 11.74% of the population identifies as Romanian, making it the city with the highest percentage in Florida. It's called S-O-P-C-H-O-P-P-Y. Sop Choppy. And then the next one down is Golden Beach. Have you heard that?
Is that like Golden Showers?
Okay, so Sop Choppy is by Tallahassee.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh God, yeah.
There's Golden Beach, which is Romanians constitute about 5.29% of the population in this city. Golden Beach, yeah. Well, Jasmine likes to be peed on, so that would work out. And then there's Penny Farms. Have you heard of Penny Farms?
No.
I haven't heard of any of these places. This is
that sounds like a place where you tell your children your dog went to the Penny Farms.
That's what it sounds like. Penny, P-E-N-N-E-Y, Farms. Approximately 5.13% of the residents are Romanian descent. And then there's Punta Rasa.
No.
Romanians make up 4.82% of the local population. Punta Rasa. And then there's Highland Beach. What about that? That's 3.5%.
Okay, so
okay.
Golden Beach is in Miami. It's by Hialeah. I know where.
Oh, I know Hialeah.
Yeah, I know where that is. What was
that's like the poor man's Orlando?
Yeah.
The next one is Penny Farms, but P-E-N-N-E-Y.
I just want to go and say like I live in Penny Farms. That just sounds so magical.
Penny Farms.
That's okay. Where your childhood dog went.
It's in Jacksonville. Mm. Okay. It says the population is 821.
It's what?
The population is 821.
Oh.
That's the
Sam.
That might actually be the smallest town in Florida, actually.
Mm-hmm. And then the next one was Punta Rasa.
I don't know where that is either.
Okay. And then Highland Beach. Okay. And then let's see. In addition to these cities, Florida hosts various Romanian cultural and community organizations. The Romanian Community of Central Florida Corp. Well, I don't want to bore people with these random corporations. I'll just do two more. Romanian American League and then Romanian American Chamber of Commerce. So it seems like there's a decently strong Romanian population down there, which I'm sure is one reason where he was all about it.
Yeah, there's more than I thought. But the area that they're in wasn't on the list.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. Whenever Angela's in town, she's always Clearwater, Tampa area. You know, that's
what, that does not shock me.
Yeah, that's Angela's hangout. And Angela's best friends with the Hulk. And Hulk is a Clearwater.
Hulk Hogan for the people at home.
Yeah, the Hulk Hogan and he's a Clearwater Tampa resident.
Oh, is that where the Hulk Hogan restaurant bar is? Right?
Yeah, it's right in Clearwater, right on the boardwalk. The bay, yeah, it's right there in Clearwater, right there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right on the water. It got messed up during the hurricane, but it's back open.
Okay. True. All right. Well, it's almost 1 a.m. So any other topics before we end
it? I can't think of any.
I think we hit it. Yeah, this was a good episode, guys. We got three more to go. And tomorrow is some last resort. It's the gift that keeps on giving. So
it's just like, you know, Lauren's STDs.
Right? You clear one up. Clear one up. Another.
Let me give a shout out to the Washington Commanders for their first playoff victory since 2005.
The who?
Damn.
The Washington Redskins.
Oh, did they win? I'm sorry. I don't follow.
Yeah. Oh, they won on like a last second doink field goal.
Oh.
Like, wait. But it was a doink going in, not a doink going out.
So wait, this is NFL, right? Not college.
Yeah, NFL.
Oh, NFL. Okay, okay.
But do you know what
a
field goal is, right?
No, no.
It's when the ball hit he kicked it, and then it hit the upright, but then it still like slid in even after hitting the upright.
Wait, I thought if you hit it and it hits the sides, it doesn't count.
Well, luckily hit the like interior side, so it kind of like went in.
Oh, okay. Because yeah. I have very, very minimal knowledge of sport. But
does your son like sports or no?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. But I'm not like I know a general information.
Yeah.
Like I don't know a lot of stuff. Like
I think next week we're playing the Detroit Lions, so I'm gonna have to like make some Instagram stories and send it to Gino.
Oh yeah,
like have a, like a beef or rivalry.
So whenever they, whenever the Lions play the Buccaneers, that's that's Gino against Jasmine.
Oh well, the funny part is the Commander, the Redskins are, we beat the Buccaneers today.
Oh, so yeah, because Jasmine, the closest team for her would be the Buccaneers. So
that's funny because let's say if the Buccaneers had won, it would have been probably Buccaneers and Lions, and that would have been a really good meme. But I guess that's not gonna happen.
That sucks. That would have been good to win Gino against Jasmine, which would have been cool.
Yeah. True. Well, it'll be Gino against Djibouti, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, that's good too. That's good too.
All right. Well, this is a good Sunday show. I feel like we hit all the topics for just one episode. Yes, we did.
Yeah, that was a good one. Thanks for joining us for 9 Day Fiancé Fridays on Sunday.
For sure. Thank you. Look for this tomorrow on Apple and Spotify. And yeah, and I can't wait to start a Romanian fan club.
Yeah, me too. I hear their food is really good, so I'm down.
True.
Me too.
And if anyone at home is playing a drinking game where they take a drink every time I say true, 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 see y'all Friday.
they'll see you next Friday if that's the fucking case.
Yeah. When you wake up from your hangover, let us know how it went.
Wake up from the hospital, text us. Please.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
All right. Bye.
All right. Bye.